Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Genesis chapter 41. Through today's teaching, we pray that you would feel encouraged and remembered by the Lord. God has not forgotten about you, just like he didn't forget about Joseph, and he wants to encourage you today, even amidst suffering. More on that now. Let's dive into this chapter with Pastor Dave.
I want to bring you in the mix. I heard that you've done some crazy things back in your day, and I need your brains. I need to pick your brain. Are you available? Can I use, you know, the talents that you have? And can you imagine saying, President Obama, it's not me. It's the God that is in me. So many times we're so quick to accept the praise, aren't we? Well, I have interpreted a few dreams in my day. Joseph said, this has nothing to do with me. There's no playing around. You see, in character, as I've talked about the last few weeks, it's undoubtedly the secret of power, but God is the secret of character. Character is the secret of power, absolutely. But the way to have character, the secret to character, is God. And God was real in Joseph's life. This relationship with God was real. It was something that was cultivated. It was something that Joseph invested in. No Bible. He's in the book of Genesis. There was not even the first five books of the Bible. No Old Testament, no New Testament. Not even the Holy Spirit with him the way he is with you and I today as New Testament saints. But this relationship with the living God that he had, that God made available to him, no appearance of God ever to Joseph that's recorded. There was appearances to Abraham, his forefathers, but never to him. The God of Israel, the God that was told to him when he was a boy, not as a grown man. But as a boy, he's been away from his dad since he was 17, but what a strong relationship he had with the Father. That should encourage you. That it doesn't matter how old you are, that you can have a relationship with God. And he understood God. And he understood, if I'm going to be used greatly by God, I can't touch his glory. And if you've yet to come to that lesson, then you're yet to be ready to be used by the Lord, you see. Because he doesn't need any of us, as I share so often. And it's the person that realizes that I am just a dirtbag. That God says, okay, you're ready. I can use you now. Because you know it's not you. You know that it has nothing to do with you. How many of you know your dirtbags? So you're ready. You guys are good to go. If you're wondering, what do I need to do to serve the Lord? Just know you're a dirtbag and that you need his spirit. Amen? That wasn't a very powerful amen. You guys must not really think you're dirtbags. You're dirtbags. It's not in me. It's my God that's going to give me the vision to help you, to help interpret your vision, your dreams. And Pharaoh said unto him in verse 17, yeah, okay, kid, whatever, just listen to what the dream is. I'm really troubled here. He goes on in verse 17, he says unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood up upon the bank of the river. Behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, fat flesh, well-favored. I like how he describes fatness, don't you? Well-favored, right? Well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. And in verse 19, behold, seven other cows, they came up after them. Poor and ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt for badness or for ugliness. This picture, he tells Joseph, is ugly. You got these ugly, nasty cows and these big, fat cows. And the lean ones, verse 20, and the ill-favored cows, they did eat up the first seven fat cows. And when they had eaten them up or chewed them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still skinny or ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke. These cows were chewing the fat cows, and nothing was changing. You know, it would be like watching a snake eating a mouse and then not seeing any lump in the snake as he eats the mouse. He said, it was very disturbing. It was a very strange dream. It woke me up. I certainly thought something must be wrong. I ate a bad meal that night. And so he goes, I woke up from this thing. And then again, verse 22, I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, and one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And in verse 24, the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. They were stumped. Joseph said to Pharaoh, verse 25, the dream of Pharaoh is one. I pointed this out last week with the butler and the baker. I love how in tune with God Joseph is, right? That you're just like the New Testament says, as New Testament saints, that we should always have an answer on our lips, a reason ready to give for why we believe what we believe, right? In the living God, that the relationship with the Lord is so real, that it comes natural. Like, I got a question for you about God. Well, hang on a minute, man. I got to go study for a few weeks. I got to talk to my pastor. I got to read a commentary. I got to listen to a teaching. No. I'm ready to tell you what God's doing. Now, folks, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with reading a commentary or talking to your pastor or inquiring or studying up on a topic or saying, I don't know. I do that all the time if I don't know. That's the good way to go about it. We should be humble. Hey, I don't know. I'll look into it. But what I'm trying to point out here is that we need to have such a real relationship with the Lord that I'm just going to go right to the Lord and ask him. This relationship with him is so open. This relationship with him is so real. I'm not just having a relationship with the Lord now all of a sudden because you've asked me a question. The relationship with God has always been there. I'm going to go talk to him anyway. So when I go talk to him, I'm going to bring this matter up. You get what I'm saying? It should be something that you do, not because you're just at church, not because you just have to teach that week, or not because you're just doing worship that week. You know, like, okay, it's Saturday night, and I'm on schedule for kids' worship or teaching tomorrow or ushering, so I'm going to make sure that I don't sin tonight, and I'm going to be really well-behaved because I'm serving tomorrow morning. Has anyone ever thought that way before? Or it's Sunday morning, right? So I got to be extra good because I'm serving God today. But Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, I'm off. I can be however I want to be again until Wednesday. It's awesome, and then I got to behave. Till Sunday. And then, you know what I'm saying? And so there's this cycle that goes on. And it shouldn't be this way. It should just be, man, I'm walking with Jesus always. And I take him with me wherever I go. He comes with me. He's my very best friend. And I don't want to do anything that would hinder this relationship with him. Joseph, he's at that place. He's like, I could tell you right away. First of all, he says, that dream that you had, it's not two different dreams. It's really one dream. The theme is one. He says, let me tell you about this. In verse 25, he says, God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. King Pharaoh, man who thinks he is the greatest thing on this planet, the greatest thing going, listen, God's going to show you, the true and living God is going to show you what he is about to do, what God is about to do. The seven good cows, verse 26, they represent 7 years. And the 7 ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kin that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing, verse 28, which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he shows unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh, listen, this is what God's going to do. You might think that you are God, but the true and living God, your creator, this is what he is going to do. I love it. Everything concerning God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right? There are no maybes. There are no possibilities. No, it is in fact. It is factual. Whenever God is going to do something, whenever God reveals his will, no one's going to stop him. Nothing's going to hinder him, not even Satan. Satan thought that Joseph was done away with. First, I had his brothers throw him in a pit. Then I had Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. And then I had him go into Potiphar's house, and I thought I was going to destroy him completely. And I had him be accused, falsely accused, which is a perfect characteristic of Satan. I had him be falsely accused that he raped Potiphar's wife, and then I had him thrown in prison. And I thought for sure Satan would say, this man is done. But God says, what you, Joseph's brothers, what you, Satan, and your demons intended for evil, I've used for good. And I'm going to bring glory to my name through this whole circumstance, through this whole situation. You thought you were done with Joseph. You thought you thwarted my plans. I got another thing to tell you. I am still on the throne. Forgive me for my voice. God would say that I am still on the throne. And it doesn't matter what the picture looks like. It doesn't matter how bleak it is right now on the outset. It doesn't matter what Satan's whispering in your ear, that I've got this thing sealed in the back. You're done. God would say to you, God would say to anybody who's opposing you, I am on the throne. This is what I'm about to do. No one's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hinder me. As his people, we need to be reminded of this. We need to be encouraged of this because things can look bleak sometimes, can't they? We can be so discouraged sometimes. Joseph says, Pharaoh, listen. And I love it because he's not a man pleaser. He's not worried about offending Pharaoh. I love people who aren't men pleasers. I love people who just tell the truth. You know, this is the way it is. This is what God's word says. This is what my Lord says. You can cut my head off if you want. You can hang me like you did that baker. I'm not going to back down. God is going to do this, Pharaoh, because he is the living God. No one's going to stop him. Nothing is going to hinder him. The boldness of Joseph in the face of Pharaoh. Honestly, when you read this on your own, if you just were at home right now, first of all, you wouldn't be distracted by a crackly voice. But second of all, you just breeze through this, wouldn't you? That Joseph said to Pharaoh that this is what God's about to do. It's so nonchalant. But we need to stop and meditate on these things. Can you imagine the boldness that Joseph had? He's 30 years old. He's been in prison for years. He's been in Egypt since he was 17. The guy just wants to go home, but God brings him to this place where he stops striving. So instead of coming to Pharaoh now, see, it's so important that God got him to this place because if he wasn't there, when he got to before Pharaoh, he might have just wanted to be a man pleaser just so that Pharaoh would say, I like you, I'm going to send you home. But because God got him to this place where he didn't care about his well-being, he recognized that this is your hand on my life. This is where you had me for such a time as this. Like Esther, that you've raised me up for such a time as this. That Lord, you had me alive in this generation for such a time as this. You had me in this kingdom for such a time as this. Because he came to peace with that, he was then able to be used by the Lord and not afraid to tell Pharaoh the truth. Pharaoh, this is the case. I'm okay. God is going to do this. God is going to work this out. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you kill me because I've come to the place where it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Isn't that powerful? I'm not intimidated by you. I don't care anymore. I'm not looking to be accepted or applauded because I gave you a nice message. I'm going to tell you the truth. As a pastor, I appreciate that. When you can read of a man who was like this, courageous, strong, willing to stand up for Jesus Christ. Here's the vision. Here's the dream, verse 29. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them, verse 30, 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known, verse 31, in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that dream was doubled, verse 32, unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing, please notice again, church, this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. This thing was prepared by God. Everything that is happening has been allowed by God. The weather is controlled by God, not the Doppler radar, not News Source 13, not these meteorologists, certainly not these meteorologists. Even the weather is ordained by God, is allowed by God. The weather, the storm systems, what moves in, what moves out, everything that happens, and everything around us is ordained by God. He's saying, listen, God even holds the weather in his hands. This thing's going to happen. This is what's going to take place. Now, please listen to me, Pharaoh, verse 33. Please look out for a man that is intelligent and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Now, this is crazy. Let's read on, then I'll come back to it. Let's go to verse 37 here. He says, let Pharaoh do this, verse 34. And let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt and the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years, verse 35, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, verse 36, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Pharaoh, I have a plan. Interesting. I managed Potiphar's house before. Interesting. I was actually top dog in the jail for a while there. God gave me a background in management. I have, see, this is the thing. Everything that God's working in your life, it's for future preparation. God's preparing you for something. You don't go through anything in vain. There's nothing that you go through in vain. Your kid is sick. God's going to use you to minister somebody else someday. I'm telling you. You've gone through a divorce. God's going to use you to minister to somebody else who's going through a divorce. You've lost your job. God's going to use you to encourage somebody else who's unemployed. Whatever it is that you're going through, you yourself are sick. You're going to be able to minister to somebody that's sick that nobody else can minister to like you can because you can relate. You see, nothing that touches you, nothing that you go through is in vain. You know, whatever it would be, you've waited on the Lord before for something that you've longed after so greatly. God's going to use you to encourage somebody who's trying to be patient. Everything that you go through is God ordained, God allowed, so that you can be used in somebody else's life. Now, Joseph recognizes this. I have a plan. I got this whole thing figured out, man. What we're going to do is we're going to set aside during the years of plenty, during those years of feasting, if you would, we're going to take aside, you know, a fifth of everything that comes in, and we're going to store it in storehouses, and we're going to put that aside. We're not going to touch it. So during the years of the famine, we have plenty of food, not just for us, but for all the nations of the world to come to us and buy from us. This is how we're going to survive. Now, what you need to do, Pharaoh, and this is why I love Joseph, is like you got to look for a man that is wise and intelligent. Hello, this is the man that is wise and intelligent, but there's no ambition because he's at peace with God now. He stopped striving. He stopped trying to get out of his circumstances. He stopped trying to change his circumstances. He was just at peace. And so because he made himself low, God was able to lift him up. You see what I'm saying? Because he didn't take that seat of honor like Jesus said, he didn't have to be embarrassed and say, oh, excuse me, you need to go down there. You're not supposed to be sitting in this place of prominence. You see, he didn't hand in his resume. He didn't say, hey, did you hear about me? I'm the perfect candidate. I can do everything that you need me to do. He just was abased. He's like, this is what you need. This is the plan. I don't need the credit for it. You don't need to put my name on this. Joseph the Hebrew came up with it. I don't need recognition. I don't need any man's applause. I'm serving God. God gave me the vision. I didn't come up with this on my own. He gave me the understandings to your dream. This is how you're going to get through the famine. This is what you need. Now come up with somebody who's wise and intelligent to help you handle these things. Isn't that amazing? How many of us would be like, well, Pharaoh, I know somebody pretty good. Might be able to help you out a little bit, a little experience. In fact, Potiphar, the chief guard of your army, the head executioner. I lived in his house before. You might have heard about me. Speaking of which, did you know I did not try to rape his and vindicate himself? He didn't do any of that stuff. That's all in God's hand. See, there's an amazing release again. That's the only thing I can think of right now. It's just a release when you say, God, I'm handing over to you all my past. I'm handing over to you, Lord, how unfairly, how unjustly I've been treated. It doesn't matter anymore because why? How do you get to this place? Because you come to the place of saying, God, your hand's on my life. You've allowed it. So it doesn't matter anymore me letting everybody know for the sake of my reputation that I'm innocent, that I never really did the things that I was accused of, that I never really should have been in prison, or I don't have to boast because promotion doesn't come from the east and it doesn't come from the west. And it doesn't come from the south. It comes from the north. It comes from the throne of God. And if he wants to raise me up, if he wants to do this thing in my life, excuse me, then I'm going to let him do it. Much like David, isn't it? People were chanting, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s, wanting him to be king after he slayed the giant. David's like, I'm not doing anything against God's anointed. If God wants to raise me up, God will raise me up. I love guys like this. No ambition. Just, this is the Lord's thing. And so we go on to read here in verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. I love when the world can recognize an anointing on a man. When there's such a strong anointing on a man, because remember, there's great power, there's great power in character, there's great power in integrity. Even the world respects a Christian. They might make fun of you, they might persecute you, but they respect you. They want what you have. Pharaoh, this evil pagan man, this man that worshiped many gods, he says, there's something different about Joseph. The Spirit of God is upon him. I mean, that's a powerful anointing when an unbeliever can see that. When an unbeliever can say, there's something unique about this guy. I like what I see. Whatever it is about him, whatever this thing is on his life, I can't completely place it because I'm not familiar with it. But what I like, I see. He says again in verse 38, can we find such a man as this? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 39, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. He's only 30 years old, but there's no one as wise as he is. Because wisdom comes from the Lord. You know that? You could have some of the youngest people that are the wisest people because wisdom is the application of knowledge. Head knowledge only takes you so far, but it's the application of knowledge. It's the application of what you learn that makes you wise. And so you can be a young man. You could be a young woman that is super wise because you know the Lord, the Almighty Counselor. So he says, there's nobody as wise as you are. And that was a great compliment because some of the greatest fortune tellers, if you would, some of the greatest magicians, some of the greatest men that were used, these foreseers, these demonic spirit-backed men were in the presence of Pharaoh. And he said, there's nobody that compares to you. You're 30, you're young, you haven't even been in society, you've been in prison for all these years. But there is something marked about you. You're different. He says, so because of this, verse 40, you shall be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. All in one day, his circumstances changed. All in one day. You see, you never know when God's going to raise you up. You never know when God's going to do it. It might seem like years, like Joseph, you're waiting for years and years and years for God to get you out of that prison, and then boom, and within a snap of the fingers, God says, okay, that's it. The purposes I had that I wanted to work out in your life, they've been accomplished. It's time to bring you out of that prison door. It's time to release you. It's time to free you. That worked in your character, that work in who you are, it's been done. Now you're ready for what I created you for. Yes, this vision that I gave you, this dream I gave to you when you were just a teenager, it's always been true. But you weren't who you needed to be when I brought you to Egypt. You had to go through the school of the hard knocks. You had to be burned. You had to be lied about. You had to be falsely accused. Sounds like somebody, doesn't it? I need to make you more like my son, Jesus.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride, hit the ground.